At PNC Private Bank, we want to know what drives you. We call that your why. Once we understand it, we'll build a personalized wealth plan to help you achieve it. So tell us, what's your why? Copyright 2021, the PNC Financial Services Group, Inc. All rights reserved. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, November 26th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. Today's Black Friday, the start of the holiday shopping season. Every year, the Wall Street Journal personal tech team compiles a list of the best gadgets to give as holiday gifts. Today, they'll join us to go over their top choices for tech gifts that go well beyond laptops and smartphones. That's after these headlines. The head of Instagram, Adam Mosseri, is set to testify before Congress next month to respond to mounting questions about the app's impact on young users. Instagram's parent company, Meta, formerly Facebook, has been under scrutiny after a whistleblower released internal documents from the company. Those documents form the basis of the Wall Street Journal series, The Facebook Files. Among other things, they revealed the company's internal research found Instagram is harmful to many young users, particularly teenage girls with body image concerns. Meta's global head of safety, Antigone Davis, testified before Congress about the issues in September. During the hearing, she said the company strongly disagreed with the journal's characterization of the research. Law enforcement agencies in Brussels said they were able to gain access to encrypted messages from criminal gangs, allowing them to thwart drug smuggling and an assassination attempt. Our European security correspondent James Morrison says authorities' infiltration of the messaging service is a significant step for police, who often feel a step behind criminals when it comes to technology.
This is the biggest hack so far. Police say they have around 1 billion messages which will feed investigations for years. Police worked hard to hack into the system. They put together a team of hackers from as far afield as Australia, which gives you an idea of how important they considered this.
A new front in the battle over surveillance and user privacy. Apple is suing the Israeli surveillance software maker NSO Group, alleging the company misused Apple products and services. The lawsuit claims in 2021, NSO Group targeted Apple customers, its products and servers, and the company itself through dangerous malware and spyware. According to security researchers, NSO Group has developed hacking techniques that allow it to install its surveillance software called Pegasus on iPhones without a user's knowledge or consent. Our reporter Robert McMillan says Apple is concerned that ability could undermine trust in its products.
Really, this suit is an escalation in tactics by the tech companies. They are trying to wrestle with the fact that these phones are such an intimate part of our lives that if they're subverted, they become the perfect spying device. So the NSO's Pegasus software can record voice using the microphone on your phone. It can look at all the messages you've created and the files you've created. It can access the camera even. It knows where you've been. Apple wants us to believe that we can trust our phones, because if we can't trust them, it's really scary what can be done with them.
In an email to the Wall Street Journal, an NSO Group spokesman didn't address Apple's allegations, but said the company's technology has been used lawfully to help governments fight crime. And Ant Group, the financial technology giant controlled by Chinese billionaire Jack Ma, is rebranding some of its credit offerings. The company will make it clear to consumers if they're borrowing from Ant itself or from an outside lender. The move comes amid a regulatory crackdown from Beijing, subjecting Ant to new financial regulations. Ant's short-term unsecured loans and digital credit cards accounted for nearly a fifth of China's outstanding short-term consumer debt as of June of last year, the latest data available. But Ant only funded 2% of those loans. The rest were financed by banks, trust companies, and asset-backed securities. All right, coming up, the Wall Street Journal's personal tech team shares their top picks for holiday tech gifts. That's after the break.
At CAS, we curate and connect the world's scientific knowledge, weaving a fabric of innovation that reveals the hindsight, insight, and foresight innovators need to accelerate breakthroughs. CAS, the fabric of innovation.
Well, the start of the holiday shopping season is upon us, and while there will always be that person in your life who wants the latest smartphone or gaming console, we know the power of giving a cool and unique tech gift. For some suggestions, we've rounded up the WSJ's personal tech team. They recently put out a list of their favorite gadgets for 2021. With us now, personal tech editor Wilson Rothman, personal tech columnist Nicole Nguyen, and personal tech reporter Dalvin Brown. Thanks for coming on the show, guys.
Happy to be here.
Hello.
Thanks.
Before we get into the specifics of the gadgets that you each liked, Wilson, you're the editor of the tech team. Can you tell us how this list is put together?
Sure. You know, every year throughout the year, we hear about great things and check out a lot of cool products. You know, Nicole and our other columnist, Joanna Stern, thoroughly test a lot of big name products that you would have heard about, you know, the MacBooks and things like that. And so we kind of accumulate those over the year. And then we're like, well, what else came out? What did we not know about? And so we kind of do this hunt. It's kind of this funny scavenger hunt that happens starting probably, you know, mid-October. And we're combing for like cool, weird, and interesting technology that we might not have heard about through the year. And we call it all in. I mean, that's the key to this gift guide. There's nothing in this guide that we haven't tried ourselves. And we really cut the stuff that doesn't make it. Like, there's a lot of culling here.
Okay, so to dive into the weird stuff that was on the list, Nicole, I want to start with something you put on, because we've talked on the show a lot about the metaverse and augmented reality, and you've got a gadget that's using AR in a kind of an unusual spot.
Yeah, so I included a pair of swim goggles that beam little lights into one of the lenses of the goggles, and it gives you metrics like how far you've swam, the rest interval if you're resting. Basically, swimming is a very boring sport because you're staring at a black line for many, many, many laps. And so, you know, knowing how fast you're going and knowing how far you've gone is very helpful. What is new this year with these goggles is that they can now load a variety of workouts provided by Form, which is the company that makes the goggles.
Okay, so another sort of strange gift that caught my attention was the Jita Mini. Dalvin, you recorded yourself using this. It's kind of like a cute, cool little cooler on wheels. What is it?
Well, basically it is a cute cooler on wheels, and it follows you around sort of like a puppy. But it's actually useful since you can put groceries or picnic gear in it and walk around town running errands hands-free. Once you turn it on, there's a machine vision camera system that looks for your legs and tries to lock onto them. And then once that happens, you can walk wherever and it will trail behind you about 6 feet or so. And I took it to the grocery store, to the gym, around the block, and it literally stopped traffic as people were trying to figure out what was going on.
It's called Jita. It's a robot.
But I'm one of those people who hates to carry bags, and I live in a big city without a car. So tinkering with a robot that can lug 20 pounds of my stuff around was a pretty compelling experience. I just wish it could travel upstairs.
All right, I guess if we're going to discuss robots then, Wilson, can you introduce us to Game Buds Talking Tom, please?
Sure. So if you either liked and or were horrified by the Chuck E. Cheese animatronics or the Disney animatronics as a child, you can appreciate how far technology has come that now you can spend $100 on a little cat-shaped animatronic robot who can talk.
Please don't actually put any food in me. I'm not really real.
He moves his mouth mechanically, and then his eyes are like LCD screens that kind of bug out and do weird cartoon effects. And all the while, he's connected to the internet, just spewing a stream of like sassy PG-rated content.
Someday I'd like to be a real boy. Actually, not, because then I couldn't just sit around all day. Heck, in 5 years, you'd probably be making me get a job.
Like, he'll just go off. He was just, like, going off about facts about the fall and stuff. Like, just weird stuff he would just start chattering about.
So what is the point of Tom? Is it just like a Google Home for children?
Yeah, I mean, it's leveraging technology like Google Home and Alexa, and I think that's what's important, you know, as a technology statement. But what's the point of the toy? I mean, what's the point of any toy? Like, what's cool about this is it won't run out of things to say in 5 minutes.
Okay, let's stay in that category. We're all still spending a lot of time in our houses. Nicole, any good gifts for the home that stood out for you?
So this may not be as exciting as an animatronic robotic toy, but I live in the West, in San Francisco and California, where air purifiers are as common as a blender in the kitchen because wildfire season is a part of our new reality. And so the Miele Smart Air Purifier is something I included in this guide, and it's definitely on the more expensive side for an air purifier, but, you know, while having smarts in an air purifier is not a necessity, it's amazing to sort of set it and forget it. You can use the app to tell it things like, these are the times when I sleep, and so don't start worrying your fans during these periods. There's also a housekeeping service, so it can detect when you're away from your home and do a deep clean with a faster, louder fan speed while you're not at home. And it looks really nice.
Okay, some stylish and useful tech for the home. Wilson, do you have anything else for the home? Any gadgets that you might be giving this year?
Well, I am fascinated by the fact that we've been able to unlock our cars very, very easily for like decades, but we still have to put a key in a lock when it comes to our doors at home. So I kind of fell in love this year with a fingerprint-activated door lock. It's part of a family of door locks that includes other kinds of things like codes and biometric, like facial scanning and all that. But this is just very simple. You just put your finger on it and it unlocks. And you put your finger on it again and it locks. I should say, by the way, that this is the Lockly Flex Touch deadbolt.
Okay, so last year a lot of people went and gave, you know, connected fitness equipment or subscriptions to apps to help you work out. For anyone who didn't get into that last year, is there anything that they should maybe consider buying this year? Dalvin, did you see anything?
Yeah, I am that person. So unfortunately, I never got to test out the original Tempo Studio last year because my apartment wasn't big enough for a 6-foot-tall system with a 42-inch touch screen and workout bench. But this year, the company came out with a new version called the Tempo Move, and it solves those problems by hiding the weights and dumbbells into a 2-foot-tall end table. The coolest part is the software that uses your iPhone camera to count your reps and tell you if your form is off. And so I would strongly recommend it to people because it's under $500, which is much cheaper than any other smart home gym system out there. And the end table is really modern and discreet, and it doesn't have to interrupt the flow of your space.
You guys got any other gadgets if I want to work out, maybe not in my home?
I included Whoop, which has a new generation sensor called the Whoop 4.0, and it works on the wrist like many fitness trackers, but you can also stick it in a variety of compatible apparel. So there's a very comfortable bra for everyday wear, a sports bra, leggings, boxer briefs, and it's an interesting idea because I think that wearing a fitness tracker on your wrist means that it's susceptible to movement, and that means less accurate tracking. So for those who find it too cumbersome to wear on a wrist, with Whoop, you can wear it anywhere on your body.
So no faking how much exercise you're getting.
That's right.
Well, those all seem like really exciting gifts. Thank you to the Wall Street Journal's personal tech team, Wilson Rothman, Nicole Nguyen, and Dalvin Brown. Thanks, guys, for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Zoe.
And that's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our producer is Julie Chang. Our supervising producer is Chris Zinsley. Our executive producer is Kateri Yoka. And I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by AdoptUS Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit AdoptUSKids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by AdoptUS Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.